807 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. Rob Holbert from Landnap joins us around 8:35, and you can join us right now at 343-0106, 343-0106. Heads up here. If you're like most folks, you have a balance on your credit cards and a higher interest rate than you would like. Yeah, you know what? Any interest rate over zero is a higher interest rate than I would like. But why not turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money? LightStream offering credit card consolidation loans from 6.14% APR with auto pay. You get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. You can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. So here's the reason you've been working on good credit all your life. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. Plus, they're a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest financial institutions, so you can have complete peace of mind. And here's how it works. You can save money, get this deal, when you go to the website LightStream.com. Save even more with an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. Now, the only way to get this discount is when you go to LightStream.com/Sullivan, my last name. The website, LIGHTSTREAM.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, 808, and on the way, we will have a couple things on my list to get into. Number one, somebody was asking on the text line earlier, haven't heard y'all talk about it yet, that Canada has legalized marijuana. You know, it's a national thing. They've legalized marijuana.
They did so yesterday.
Yeah, and so it's the thing now. Of course, not without pushback, I would imagine. You have the medical professionals in Canada saying, you know, hey, for a chasing of dollars, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically, you know, the nation is chasing dollars without any thought to the health of the people in Canada.
Hmm.
You know, they have a lot of people quoted in the story that are like, hooray for Canada, hooray, 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 everything's great. But then they have, the editorial published Monday, the Canadian Medical Association Journal, called the government's legalization plan a, quote, an uncontrolled experiment in which the profits of cannabis producers and tax revenues are squarely pitched against the health of Canadians. Called on the government to promise to change the law if it leads to increased marijuana use. Now, it's going to lead to increased marijuana use.
It will.
I mean, you know, so...
It's easy to bet on that one. And I think a number of nations are closely watching this and then seeing how they, too, can bring this to the...
Money.
Nearest, yes, right.
Money.
Bring it to the nearest corner near
money.
You.
Money, money, money. Would marijuana be legalized anywhere if there was not an incentive for additional government revenue?
I don't think so.
No. If there was, if they could legalize marijuana somewhere but have no, the state or the nation would get no revenue, would it be legalized?
But you could say that almost about anything, too. If it's not bringing in the
absolutely
money and it's a drug
sin
of any sort. Yeah.
Any sin, they're going to, they oh, well, it's okay because look at the revenue. I like this, too. You know, I obsess on, like, the way we draw lines in various cultures. Like, this is okay. Like, 54 miles an hour is not speeding, 56 is.
Right.
I mean, I know you have to set numbers, you have to set lines, but the arbitrariness of it cracks me up. Okay, under Canada's new Federal Cannabis Act, adults will be allowed to possess, carry, and share with other adults up to 30 grams of dried cannabis. So I don't know, grams, is that... Okay, so it's enough to roll roughly 60 regular-sized joints or one Bob Marley special. No, I just added that in. They will also be permitted a maximum of 4 homegrown marijuana plants per household in most provinces. So here's where I get into the arbitrary nature. So they now legalize marijuana in Canada. And listen, I mean, this is, people say, well, we ought to get on board. Well, you know, look at the states and you know, in the District of Columbia that have already done it here. But, like, 30 grams is okay. Is legal, but if they have 31,
then it's
they're in
all of a sudden illegal,
right? And they can have 4 homegrown marijuana plants, but not 5. I mean, this kind of stuff. Either you, I mean, it's like I am with the gambling thing. We'll talk about the lottery now, you know, because I know no one from the state of Alabama where lotto's illegal. Well, it doesn't exist. Nobody's traveling across the state lines to get into the Mega Millions, right? Of course not. But this idea that we're going to legalize marijuana because we want revenue, but then to make it palatable to those people, but we're not losing our minds. They can only have four plants. They can't have five plants, and we will have government regulators to make sure they don't have five plants. Either just legalize something. Mm-hmm. This is what government can say. Either if you're going to do it, just legalize it. If they have 5,000 plants, it's okay.
Well, you know, as Big Tobacco jumps on the marijuana train to try to get as much of that money as they can, and listening to Gordon Deal this morning where they were discussing that Canada, they've had medical marijuana since 2001, which mm-hmm. is way ahead of, at least a few years ahead of where any states in the United States began doing that. But do you think this is kind of like, and if you're jumping on now, you're probably too late, but kind of like the gold rush, where,
the green rush,
I don't know,
yes.
if you're going up there and you're selling grow lamps and fertilizer and all these different things, because there's a lot of money in this, and there are going to be companies that make a whole lot of money. And just like everything, I think it's starting out with a lot of these basically mom and pop businesses that mm-hmm. are out there growing the weed and going out and selling it. But then you're going to have these massive companies that already have big businesses and know how to make these things for cheaper than the mom and pops, whether they're going to come in and run everyone off.
Right. They will come in. And so we, instead of having the mom and pop, the little places around town selling the weed, you'll have Weed Depot.
Oh, geez. Don't
Weed
even,
Mart.
Don't grow that idea.
Weed Mart.
Weed Mart.
Circle Weed.
Wait.
What will we do? Y'all throw up some names there on the text line.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm
Weed
sure the
Depot.
I
like that.
The population will suddenly spike those numbers of how many people may move, you know, across the border. Listen to this quote from Cam Battley. He is, let me find this title right here. He is the chief corporate officer at Aurora Cannabis.
Right.
Okay. This is a very funny quote to me, is what he says. Once you see Grandma and Uncle Ted using medical cannabis to manage their arthritis pain, suddenly the substance is not so scary and not so stigmatized. See, that opens up the space for countries to move forward with consumer legalization as well. I think Canada is at the forefront of a global mega trend.
Yeah, of government revenue. I mean, this is the thing I have.
Cha-ching, right?
I'm fairly agnostic of this. I'm not a consumer, but I believe in liberty and people being able to make decisions. But I do obsess on I would say just the arbitrary nature of when you set it up and you're going to legalize it. Mm-hmm. But then you said, but you can only have four mm-hmm. plants and not five. You can only have 30 grams and not 31 grams. I mean, what is the why?
Well,
why?
Just like everything, they have to throw the anti whatever.
Yeah, we're watching it. Yeah, so, we're not letting them get out of control. They can't have five
grams.
Plants. They
yeah.
can only have four plants.
And I think a lot of the news stories we'll see are people bringing that back across the border into America, just like mm-hmm. we've seen with Colorado and California taking it across the state lines. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if in those stories, when they're talking about, oh, can you believe all this weed coming from Canada into the United States? If you take a look at the southern border and what's coming up from there,
yeah.
The weed and all the other drugs that's coming in from Mexico, it's just, it'll be interesting to see what kind of, how America responds to the country to the north of it becoming completely legalizing this.
We'll be arguing that our revenue is going north.
And why it took 17 years for them, because like we said, back in 2001, they legalized medicinal marijuana. Mm-hmm. What happened during those 17 years? What type of research were they really honed in on to make them say, 2018, that's our year. We're going to, you know, take this up a notch and offer this in such a way. It makes you wonder, and this is a nation of 37 million people, how they reached this conclusion. Why now? Why this year? Why now?
You know who's teed off is the folks in Amsterdam. Their tourism numbers going to go down with all the people who fly over there to smoke weed. You know, like, and David, I'm hearing you. David's saying, so a 12-pack of Natty Light is legal, but 13 cans is too much. Right. I'm with you. And Hal, thank you. Hal says 30 grams is slightly more than 1 ounce. So there we go.
We're the best listeners.
But y'all get what I'm just kind of obsessed on the arbitrary. Either just legal, it's legal, but you can only have four plants, not five. Five would be crazy. Right, 821 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane, y'all at 343-0106. You can do that on the phone. You can do it on the text line. Oh, unnamed texter. I'm about to give somebody a name, but your argument that they restrictions on marijuana in Canada are ridiculous is kind of absurd. We have similar rules in the United States regarding alcohol. You can't have your own still. You can. They just can't catch you. And you can only transport X amount across state lines without it being considered being bootlegging, which is why the folks from the ABC used to sit at the Schwegman's store there. So I've heard. The Schwegman's over there in Slidell and follow people back in. I understand what you're saying, but I'm making the point that it's all ridiculous and arbitrary. And with a fresh take on Canada, it's just there's something that I pay attention to. And this idea of whether something's legal or not, it's legal, but, you know, you're going to set a number. But do you not, unnamed texture, do you not see the comedy in the fact that it's four plant? No, four is fine. There's nothing. But if you have five, holy cow.
And who's in the testing group? Like, how many people did they have to put in to say, four, maybe 4.5, not five?
I could live with four in the neighborhood, but not five.
Right.
And I think it's also time to probably redo some classic Canadian movies with this news, starting with Strange Brew.
That would be, if we can get Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas back together, I love that movie very, very much, and have them do it with getting weed and still get donuts.
Would Rick Moranis be the same size as he was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Now, this is when he was full size, Rick Moranis. Back
but
in
I mean,
the 80s,
in this
before
new version.
No, I would have him full size, which is still like 5'3". But
and then you also got Dudley Do-Right. Nice. I mean, the Mounties. I wonder how the Mounties feel about this new legalization of weed.
Yeah, I saw some names here popping up on the text line. You know, I said maybe, you know, Weed Depot or something, because Dalton was talking about the big box stores moving in. James suggests Weed Pro Shops. Geronimo suggests on the text line Piggly Weedy, KF Weed,
Best Buy could become Best High, I guess.
This is Pottery Barn. I get jokes. Let's see, Dollar Weed, yeah, Weed House, International House of Weed, Family Weed, Weed and Feed Convenience Stores.
Oh, man.
y'all are good. All right, let's go grab some phone calls here. And first, I wrote it down. There we go. Because our high-tech system is not working, so we're passing notes like we're in grade school here between the control room and the studio. Jim in Mobile is up next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good, man. How about you?
Good morning.
I'm doing well. They don't want you to have more than four plants because they don't want you selling it, and they can't tax it that way.
But, well, of course, yeah. It's just it's comedic that it's, you know, four plants you're not going to be distributing, but the second you have the fifth plant, then you're going to be like a kingpin.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm like you. I've never done it, but I'm pretty heavily invested right now in Canadian marijuana stocks, and, you know, it's been a pretty wild ride.
Yes.
The stock started rising back in the fall when they started discussing legalizing it. And what the craziest thing that happened was in January that, well, there was a company called Abcan, which is now bought out. They've got a new ticker number. But anyway, they were up around $7 a share. And in January, when Jeff Sessions came out and said he was going to crack down on, you know, but I mean, you know, that he's the United States, not Canada. The stocks plummeted down to, you know, $2-3 a stock, and really hadn't recovered since.
You would think that would have been the other way, right? I mean, you think that would have run, if the United States were going to crack down, that's more business for Canada, you think the stock would have gone up.
Yeah, and actually they passed the last set of laws, or back in, I think it was June 6th, and the stocks dropped then. But, you know, this date of October 17th that they set was, you know, it was going to take them that long to get the logistics of, you know, how everything was going to work. But, you know, my stocks dropped yesterday. In fact, to the point where I bought 5,000 more shares because I feel like, you know, they're inevitably going to go up.
But absolutely.
It's been an interesting ride.
Yeah, and I appreciate you calling. Yeah, buying opportunity. It's funny you say that, because Dalton earlier when he was saying was looking across the board at me, because you know that I don't own any marijuana producing stocks, but last 6-7 years ago, maybe longer, I started buying. Basically, Levi Strauss is still here, and the 49ers are not. I don't mean the football team. I mean the actual gold rush people. So I buy the companies that supply the weed manufacturer. Like and they've been little penny stocks and stuff over time. And mm-hmm. they're grow like Jim said, they're grow light people. They're fans. They got all these fans and a full spectrum array. And some of the stocks have been good. Some of the stocks have been duds for me. But yeah, I don't own any of the people that actually grow and sell the marijuana. I have the supply. I have the Levi Strauss to the marijuana industries. That's what I've been buying.
And you got to watch these politicians who for the last 25, 30 years have just been railing on certain things and, you know, anti-marijuana. And then you have John Boehner who bought in pretty heavily into he joined some company or something like that. Well, Boehner, as soon as he was out of his job in Washington, got involved in that. So it's kind of interesting to see where the morality line lies once money's involved. Go back to the phones here and talk with Adman calling from Irvington.
Hey, Adman.
Good morning. Who needs a gun that shoots 30 times? Who needs a house that has 10 bedrooms?
Right.
Who in the world needs a car that'll do 180 miles an hour?
Whose business is it?
Yeah, if they regulate it, though, then they have to hire people to enforce the regulations.
Right, and somebody was asking on the text line, so does this mean the Canadian police can enter your home to see if you have five plants instead of four, you know?
Yeah, you know, the first legal marijuana garden, I think, in the United States was my alma mater back in 1966 at Ole Miss.
Well,
my wife was a pharmacy student there, and they used to experiment with it. The government was spending over $1 million a year to try to find something wrong with it. You know, try to find it, you know, it changed genetics like LSD or something.
And I know there's a couple, and there's one, a big farm up at Fort Knox, I think, a government farm as well. So many name suggestions here. Tokes. For a name. That's from Superbomb. That's funny. Let's go. Okay, listen, we got to talk to Derek before we run to the break. Derek, we got about a minute, but I knew you'd call.
That's all I need, man. Why invest in Canadian, you know, marijuana companies? Just invest in your local weed dealer. I mean, hold on now. Now, if we're bringing jobs back home, if we're doing this whole Trump thing, why are we sending money to Canada? No, just go down the road, find your local weed dealer, invest in him.
Are you offering shares? When's the IPO on Silky? Mm-hmm. When's his IPO?
Yeah, Silky, I know, for real. Where's Big Worm? You go find Big Worm real quick.
Big Worm. When Big Worm has his IPO, will you let us know so we can get in on the action?
Man, I'm on it. I hit you up on the text line right now.
All right. Thank you, Derek.
Smokey.
We'll talk. Yeah, if Smokey has an IPO, let us know so we can buy some of those shares.
And it's not even Friday.
Yeah, no. There's a whole other joke there. Weed and Feed. There are a bunch of people with the Weed and Feed, so they'll be offering new products here. I don't know. It's somebody's suggesting. Okay, yeah, there are a bunch of names here. We have gotten all the branding done if there's going to be retail locations for this. I don't know. I mean, I understand that there are rules when government passes things. I just like to point them out that government would not pass anything like this if there wasn't money in it for the government. Right? That changes the opinion.
That's the Whiffum effect.
The Whiffum?
Mm-hmm. Like Marine Corps, they talk about that. What's in it for me?
That's right.
Whiffum.
And government says, what's in it for me? Cash. Ta-ching. So yeah, that's okay. That thing we've been telling you that's so bad for so long. Only kidding. Now we think it's okay.
That's when you say, psych.
Yeah. All right. Rob Holbert joins us next. Y'all stay close.
Two American troops have been wounded in Kandahar, Afghanistan. General Scott Miller, the commander of U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan, was present but not injured. Barbara Starr is at the Pentagon.
What had happened is General Miller had gone to Kandahar to meet with local and provincial Afghan officials, we are told. That meeting was over. They were leaving when a firefight broke out between Afghans.
No indication the Taliban may have been involved. A Turkish newspaper has published surveillance video images showing a man known to travel with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's entourage walking into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul before writer Jamal Khashoggi vanished there. President Trump is set to meet with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on the matter in a short time. At the opening bell, Wall Street futures have been trending lower overnight. I'm John Trout.
This information update brought to you by Publix Supermarkets. Get dinner on the table with online easy ordering, Publix delivery, powered by Instacart, and more ways to make your life every day easy. Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast is going to expect mostly sunny skies today. Will be pleasant with afternoon temperatures in the lower 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-60s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a slight chance of a shower and highs in the mid-80s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
I'm Jessica Taloney with WKRG News 5 this morning. The man who police say hit and killed a beloved Faith Academy administrator has a long criminal history. Bailey Hobson has been arrested in Mobile, Baldwin, and Escambia counties, charged with assault multiple times over the last 2 years. Hobson crashed head-on into 71-year-old Charlotte Skoda on Schillinger Road Tuesday morning. Authorities say he then carjacked someone else to get away. A man is behind bars in Escambia County, Florida, accused of sexually abusing two children. 27-year-old Nicholas Moore is charged with sexual battery. According to an arrest report, the alleged abuse happened at Moore's RV in Pensacola. We are learning of a 5-year-old Orange Beach girl with a rare and debilitating illness. Annadelle Faulkner has been diagnosed with transverse myelitis, impacting her ability to move and speak. While it's physically debilitating, Annadelle's parents say she still has her spunk.
She says a lot with her facial expressions and those sorts of things. So
yeah, you know when she's mad.
For WKRG News 5, I'm Jessica Taloney.
Mob rule or the rule of law? That's what's on the line in this year's elections. This is Justice Tom Parker. You all saw how the leftist mobs tried to tear down Justice Kavanaugh. They want me to be next. I've served for 13 years on the Alabama Supreme Court as a strong but independent conservative voice. I've taken on and beaten the Southern Poverty Law Center and been outspoken that Roe v. Wade and Obergefell were wrongly decided. And I'm a strong supporter of President Trump and his efforts to put more conservatives on our federal courts. The leftist mob doesn't like that. They want judges who will overturn our laws and look the other way when the leftist mob tries to destroy our society. This is Justice Tom Parker, Republican for Chief Justice. I'm asking for your vote to keep Alabama's courts a place where the rule of law is respected and not where the mob rules. Paid for by Tom Parker for Chief Justice, Box 11822, Montgomery 36111.
I'm Dr. Brian Heller with Southern Cancer Center. I'm often asked how I got into the field of oncology. In medical school, I wasn't sure what kind of doctor I wanted to be until that first day on a rotation in the cancer ward. I met a young girl with leukemia who had a huge impact on me. After that, I met another cancer patient and then another. I had never before experienced interacting with patients on such a deep level. That's when I knew I wanted to take care of patients with cancer. At Southern Cancer Center, I also want to take care of you. I want to navigate you from patient to survivor.
From the Pitts and Sons Towing and Recovery, traffic center, we've got a new accident slowing up traffic at Spring Hill Avenue and Tuscaloosa Street. Also, older accidents clearing at Schillinger and 7th Avenue, Leroy Stevens and Fordham, Cottage Hill and Leroy Stevens and Airport and Azalea, as state troopers still working an accident off of 3 Notch and Dawes. The South Alabama football team hosting the Troy Trojans Tuesday night, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at LAT. Come early for the free concert and tailgate beginning at 4:30 with over 20 restaurants. Get your tickets at usajaguars.com. Go Jags! And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106. 6-5 traffic.
Thank you, Kane. 8:35 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
I'm doing great. Tell us, what's going on at McConnell Automotive today?
Well, we're trying to give cars away, man, and trucks. You know, I got a good buddy, Blaine Stokely from Stokely's Nurseries. He said, mention me because I'm stealing a truck from you, Mitch. So listen, the bottom line, Dalton, is we have the biggest rebates of the year and the most motivation because it's kind of a factory ordered sell down. We have that brand new 2019 Sierra that mm-hmm. everybody's raving about, but we also have almost 45 or six, we had 80. Of these 2018 model trucks left, so the Sierra, Z71s, crew cab, stuff like that, Dalton. So they're flying off the shelves because we are literally selling them at losses because we're going to lose money at the end of the month if they're not gone.
That's why it's such a great time to get out there, and if you're looking for a new vehicle, the 2018s right now, great time to buy.
man, we're doing it for strangers, best friends. It doesn't matter, Dalton. So all anybody needs to do is check us out at McConnellAutomotive.com or come by and see us dolphin at I-65, man.
All right. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great day.
Thank you, brother. Enjoy this weather.
Yeah, for sure. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. And y'all say hello to our friend Rob Holbert with Lanyap. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, guys.
Hey,
hello,
Rob.
So,
good morning, everybody.
Good morning. So now I figured out, now it makes sense to me, when I dialed for Rob last week and was ready to get Rob Holbert on the show, and there's no answer. He didn't pick up and hang up on it. No answer. That's because he was out of cell phone range, and for a very good reason, man. I love that place out there. You write in the new Lanyap and Damn the Torpedoes. You were out in the Chandeliers.
I was, yeah. It was really nice. It was beautiful out there. I hadn't been there since I was a child, and we flew out there in this little bitty plane and landed on the, you know, I barely remember it. All I remember is the plane, the wind was so high, it actually blew this plane into the water at some point, and the men had to push it back out of the water before we could take back off.
That's up.
And they caught some big redfish out there, but I don't remember a lot of it.
So you went back out and enjoyed your time out there, even though you did happen to have a hurricane in the Gulf at the time.
The hurricane had just gone through the day before, so we skirted that. Yeah, we had a great time. It's beautiful out there. It was incredibly nice to be out of cell phone range for 3 days.
Well, you miss
like other phones ringing.
That's right, but they know your
phone's ringing in the background. Right?
Yeah, they know you're back now, yep. So you're in trouble. Let's do this. A couple things to run through from last week that I was just chomping at the bit to talk with you about. And that number one would be what's going on with Mobile City Council. What's going on with the Public Works Department? What's going on with the mayor's office? Are we having a proxy war between, you know, the administration and the council, and we're dragging everybody in? I mean, what's your take on this?
Well, I think the take is as it's been, you know, we have a strong council, weak mayor form of government that operates primarily as a strong mayor form of government. And so the council occasionally tries to step up and say we're going to be in charge of things, and it's just gotten kind of nasty lately. I think the beginning of this latest round was the whole USA stadium issue. A lot of council people felt like the mayor had sandbagged them on it, came out of nowhere with this, and they weren't aware of it, and he was really being pushy about it. So then they came back and amended his budget considerably. And then, of course, he came back and then removed their public relations person last week. And so that when they went to the meeting on Tuesday, there was a lot of complaining and a lot of fingers pointed at the mayor, saying that he was out to, you know, he was doing this for political reasons. He cut this person's job without any warning. You know, so that was... They were very upset with that.
Yeah, I thought, you know, they
didn't. It is a breakdown in communication with them. I think it has been that way for a while now.
Oh, and I want to say, too, just a side note, because I talked to Dale about that last week, because a lot of people were scratching their head. How is the city council's communication person, you know, able to be fired by the mayor? But that was a deal that they made back in the past, right, that the mayor had them in a non-merit or a different kind of category. So it was, at the behest of the council, but an employee of the administration.
Yeah, I mean, I personally have questioned why the council needs a communications person to begin with, but that's neither here nor there, I guess. But that person had, I think, come on at 45, and in 2 years had gotten a raise to 65. So, you know, the complaints that the mayor was giving raises, aiming to give raises to his own communications department. You know, there's a little bit of hypocrisy in some of that stuff too. And I mean, you know, some members of the council fired their previous attorney without any warning because of political things. He wouldn't tell them that Fred Richardson should be the council president. They fired him without any warning, and you know, so I don't think they have a lot of room to talk in that regard.
I mean, it seems like there's this proxy thing that's going on that, we're in a disagreement, being the administration and the council, and we can't actually do anything to each other, but where can we make you squeal? Well, I can fire this person. You know what? We can not fund your I-team. And I mean, these people are supposed to be working for the city, right? I mean, this is supposed to be.
Are.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, now it's in public works. You've got the issue going on in public works where it's, people are having sick out.
Yeah.
And, there's the mayor's kind of trying to fight back against that. And now the council's saying they're going to do an investigation into the whole issue. And, the thing has gotten really out of hand. And I mean, I wish it would get back to just doing the people's business in that regard. We have a lot of problems. I mean, I will say this up front, is I think that everybody on the council, most everybody on the council, I'll have a caveat on that, but I think everybody on the council for the most part is really out to do good work for the city. I think the mayor's out to do good work for the city. I don't think there are people who have bad intentions, but I think they have gotten to a point where there is a real disagreement between all of them and maybe even a dislike between the two entities.
And I think that most people can understand if you want to remove a person from a job, but based on how this sounds, Rob, I mean, and I know I read this in the Lanyap, that this employee was in the middle of a call, a business call, and her city issued cell phone was cut off.
Which I don't, like I asked last week, though. Who
does that?
Well, no, but how can you do that? I mean, just a question. Seriously, cell phone providers, can I call up and immediately have somebody's phone cut off in the middle of a conversation? Huh?
I don't know how that works.
I don't know. I'm just inquiring.
I've never had to have that done, but it's apparently possible.
Yeah.
I guess it's possible. You know, if that's true, I don't know. I don't know when they turn phones off. I've never seen something happen that quickly, but maybe they do it. I get that, there's certainly a lot of the immediacy of it was very shocking, and I think that's probably was done with intent. You know, I don't think there's any doubt that this was a blow back at them for what they did in terms of going back over the budget and taking mm-hmm. a bunch of stuff over, putting things back in, but taking things out that he wanted for his own people.
Which does the same thing at some level. It's a one step removed from just immediately firing somebody, but if you don't fund certain departments in the budget, then those people end up losing a job. So, it's a proxy war.
You look at it, Gulf Quest, I think, is one that you look at and say, well, that's a place where people are definitely going to lose jobs because of that.
What about the I-team and what about the, communications department?
Right, right. Well, I mean, those people, I think, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think I'm right, is that I think those were mostly raises and in increases in salary, I think. So, that funding is, that's one of those things. I guess you can argue about how much money should these people make, and they can mm-hmm. get into that, but they didn't have a discussion about that. It was just basically, well, we're going to take this money and we're going to put it back into some things that you cut in some of these other areas, and we're just going to take that money away. And so I think that that's where there was a lot of irritation from the mayor's office.
Yeah, looking at Dale Leisha's story over at LanyapMobile.com, the more sick out employees back to work. I got to tell you, it caught me leaning because some of the people that had that sick out, now that's been like 2 weeks ago or more, and
right.
had the sick out, showed up at the city council meeting, and I'm just old school enough, old fashioned.
Thank him for raises,
right? But they said they called in sick to work,
right?
But then showed up looking like they weren't particularly sick at the city council meeting. I mean, just I'm a simple guy, but if you're going to call in sick and then you can show up and kind of start ripping and roaring at the city council meeting, then you're not probably sick, right? So then did you lie to...
Maybe that made them feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I typically would, I guess in the private sector, I would fire somebody.
You'd be fired, correct.
Yeah, I mean, that would be something where if, you called in sick and then the boss went to the ball game later that day, and you're sitting right next to him.
Right, that gets you fired. Yeah. Right, that's how it works. Yeah.
You get fired before the seventh inning. You know, you would be done.
Seventh inning stretch becomes you're out.
Yeah, you are out.
Okay, here's your pink. Right.
Hey, let's do this. Can you hold on a second? I got to run the news break. Okay, we're coming right back with Rob Hulbert. More on what's happening with the, the way I've seen it is a proxy battle between these two entities. And if I have to, we're going to break out the love seat and make everybody sit down in the love seat and hold hands until they can wear their get-along shirt or something like that. Coming right back. Hey, thank you, Kane. 852 FM Talk, 106.5 Mobile Mornings. I'm Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane, of course, our buddy Rob Hulbert, part of the gang here with Lanyap, online at lanyapmobile.com. Speaking of which, somebody wants to grab a copy of the new Lanyap. How do they do it?
I can go to one of 1,500 locations all over Mobile and Baldwin County. Pink and purple boxes, bars, restaurants, coffee shops, grocery stores, everywhere. You can check us out online at lanyapmobile.com, or you can have us delivered to your home for $1 a week. Just $1. That's it.
There you go.
Easy stuff.
Dollar a holler, and you get it out of the box. I don't want to belabor this too much. Well, I do want to belabor it, because I know they will all say, I have talked to members of the administration, members of the council, and they say, don't worry about it. We're still doing the city's business. We're still getting the city's business done. And maybe they are. But from a perspective as a citizen and a taxpayer, I look at this. If it happens once in a while, you know what? That's the sausage making. That's fine. I don't expect everybody to be, doing a church revival and holding hands. But this has been going on. This is chronic now, the dysfunction here.
It is, and I think when you start to say these things pile up, and we have the council can't even agree on who's president. They have factions within the council fighting for more than a year now over who's going to be council president. They can't even get together and figure that part out. And then we have this fighting between the administration and the council as well. And those things. You can say what you want and say, oh, we're getting the work done. It doesn't affect anything. But that's just not true. It does.
Yeah, it for sure affects perspective. And what I would fear is this scenario, that decisions will be made on policy or direction for the city, not for the merits of the thing or the demerits of the thing, but because it benefits or does not benefit one of these entities. That it would prejudice a decision because that idea came from the council or that idea came from the administration, and the other would make a decision about that thing, whatever that thing is, mm-hmm. based on not the thing, but how they feel about the people that brought it up.
Well, thank you. It's just human nature when you are arguing with somebody or when you're at odds with somebody, not to really go out of your way to help them at the very minimum. Some people may even be more devious than that, but when you break it down to the concept that the council can't even figure out its own president because they're arguing about who the vice president would be, which is even in
right, although that's the holdup. That is the holdup, right?
It's such a meaningless office, it's ridiculous.
I think residents can appreciate the passion that our city council members have, but I think that they want to believe that they're going to rule and make decisions based on facts and not, well, you won the last battle, so now I'm going to make you pay for it by, shooting down your idea and going
whether it's
this.
Good or not. It seems like, right? Yeah. I don't know, and I know that the members of the council, and I'll probably get some emails and texts, and that's fine, say, we don't do that, okay. I just from a perspective of a citizen, though, I worry that comes into the mix.
I think that it does. You can't tell me that all these decisions that are being made are being made because they're the fiscally right thing to do or the... that there's been any real discussion about it other than, I think just a lot of them are being made because this sticks it to the person that they want to stick it to. I just think that's, it certainly looks that way and it comes off that way. And if it's, if it comes off that way to the public, it's not good either.
Right. Whether it be true or not.
That doesn't help the whole Kumbaya program here. We've got a pretty good I mean, we have a lot of good things happening in the city, and the council and the mayor's office have a lot of good things that they can pat themselves on the back, pat each other on the back.
Right.
And there's, you know, I think they're overall, when you look at things, the city is moving in a much better direction than it was.
Yep.
You know, several years ago. But so now we're bickering over who's gonna be in control.
Maybe this is a sign that the times are too good for the city, and so.
We need something that, you know, really bad to happen. I don't know. Maybe
no.
We need Ann Street to be repaved again. I don't know.
Oh my gosh! At least, there's one thing that they did agree on. Welcoming back City Councilwoman Gina Gregory. Yeah. She has gone through so much health wise, and to see her back and hear her voice. It's beautiful to see, so welcome back.
That is.
Absolutely.
She has done, what she's done, and in fighting cancer and also bringing people along with her while she's doing it is really impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that is a bright spot in a cloudy day of council-mayor relations. Just a couple minutes left here, but I do want to get in Jason Johnson's story. Supreme Court weighs contempt sanction for local judge, and this is Jim Patterson.
Yeah, so I think we've been following this. You've been following it. Jim Patterson entered an order in September instructing Judge Schwartzauer to begin using 10% of the court fees and costs collected from litigants to help fund her office, as opposed to sending those to the state, which they've been doing, and the state doesn't send it back, and we're underfunded. And so things don't, the process over there, the legal process, gums up, doesn't run smoothly. And so Patterson just entered this thing into a case he was trying, and so she started following it. But I mean, as soon as that happened, the Attorney General's office got involved. The Supreme Court, they issued a stay. But then Patterson re-entered these basic same orders, just a little change in them. And now the Supreme Court's basically giving him a week to explain why he's not going to be held in contempt of court.
And it's a weak deadline to turn in some kind of
written and show cause in writing within 7 days of this order as to the basis for jurisdiction to enter an order in violation of the stay and why he should not be held in contempt of court is what it says.
Well, of course, the bigger story is what's being referenced here is how much revenue comes in the state through the judicial branch and how little comes back into the courts. But we'll have to pick that up on a further show. Rob, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Y'all have a great weekend.
You all too.
Right. Rob Holbert with Lanyap, and we are out of here. Laura Ingraham's show is on the way next. I'm back for
Kumbaya.
Midday Mobile.
We'll
kumbaya on today for Midday Mobile, or something like that. I'll start trouble.
Hold hands.
Four marijuana plants is fine, but five, that's...